Hey, y'all. We're at the end of our first full year of Obscure Appalachia, so I wanted to do a little year-end review for y'all. It's really an episode for the fans to dive a little deeper and to get some extra stories. I'm Candace, and I'll be your guide. Considering that the podcast launched in mid-September 2022, this past year has brought the first full year of Obscure Appalachia. It's been a year of so many firsts. I've experienced a lot, I've learned a ton, and gotten the chance to chat with some truly amazing listeners. I wanted to make this episode wrapping up the year and having the opportunity to just talk about the podcast in a way that the structured format doesn't typically allow for. One thing I've been wanting to find a way to incorporate is allowing more of my personality into the episodes. So this one should be a nice fit for that. This one is a little bit more relaxed and we can just get to know one another better. I'll warn y'all, I'm a little weird, but come on, look at the podcast that I make. Of course I am. And I'm willing to bet that you are too if you're listening to this, so it's okay. Let's be weird together. Since the podcast launched, one episode has consistently been my most popular and most listened to episode. Episode 5. The Not Deer. I imagine it's because it's a really up-and-coming cryptid, as much as a cryptid can be up-and-coming, I suppose. And last time I checked, there weren't a ton of podcast episodes focused on this guy. So if you're one of the few who haven't made your way over to that episode yet, go check it out. I personally haven't revisited it since those days because honestly, I'm kind of afraid to re-listen to old episodes. I know they'll probably make me cringe because my process has evolved over time, but I've let out a couple little whispers on this recently. But I'll tell you now, I am planning a Not Deer Part 2. It's tricky because honestly, I use the best stories I could find in that first episode. And the experiences are elusive enough that while there have been more, not a lot of them are heavy hitters like those were. Of course, I wonder if chronic wasting disease is better under control, which would be great. But anyway, you can look forward to that in 2024, I hope. When I told my beloved patrons about my upcoming episode plans, one of them, Karen, suggested that I add additional stories for the really popular episodes. So, let's do it. Here's a bonus Not Deer experience story for y'all. I stayed after school late one December afternoon in 2022 in the Roanoke, Virginia area for a basketball game. After the game, I walked to the nearby church lot waiting for my dad. It was already dark. As I stood waiting, I felt like someone or something was watching me. I turned around and saw the shadow of a man behind a bush. I instantly ran to the other side of the street. I caught my breath and slowly walked back to the other side of the church. I would be able to see my dad drive up. As I stood there, keeping an eye out for my dad and for other shadows, I saw two deer along the edge of the woods. I put some space between me and the deer. I watched the deer as they began to move around. I watched closely as one of the deer seemed to have a bad back leg or was injured. I began to walk in the direction of the deer in order to get a better look. When I came within 20 feet or so of the deer, I stopped. I was literally frozen and terrified at the same time. I realized that these were not deer. They both had oddly shaped heads with patches of hair that seemed to be stitched onto their bodies. It actually looked like human skin was underneath the patches. Then both deer looked in my direction and slowly stood up on their back legs. Then they started to run in my direction, chasing me back to the church lot. I was yelling and running at the same time, so loud that my dad heard me a block away. I ran towards my home neighborhood, but my dad happened to see me and caught up. As he stopped ahead of me, I jumped into the passenger seat yelling, "Go! Go!" He asked me what the hell I was yelling and running for. I couldn't answer him. I was absolutely freaked out. The 10-minute drive home was surreal as I was thinking about what I had experienced and what I was going to tell my dad. When we got home and after I calmed down a bit, my mom and dad sat at the dining room table with me and listened to my description of the encounter. They actually listened. They knew by my demeanor that something had really occurred. Later that night, while I was in my room watching television, my dad came into my room and wanted to talk. He told me about an encounter that he'd had several years previously with a deer while he and my uncle were hunting in the nearby mountains. His description was very much like mine. He told my mom about it at the time, so now I know why they didn't question my sanity when we talked. See, there are perks to listening to this random hodgepodge of an episode. You get some bonus stories thrown into my ramble. It's pretty fun making something different like this. Typically, there's a strict subject matter per episode, so this little meander is really refreshing. While the Not Deer episode was my most popular episode as far as numbers, two more rivaled that one in terms of listener accolades. I have received so many positive responses to episodes 19 and 20, the Glitch in the Matrix episodes, as well as episode 25, The Crawler. I have to agree with the former because the Glitch in the Matrix stories really stick with me in a way that most of the other paranormal stories don't. Hauntings or other paranormal stories are definitely disconcerting, but there's something so overwhelmingly unnerving about your sense of reality and perception being altered, like the Glitch stories. And I appreciate that the Crawler is an entity with a lot of stories, really, that just isn't talked about very often. Some folks liken it to the story of the Rake, which is a fictional internet creation, but stories of lanky, pale beings have existed for a long time. It kind of makes you wonder if they could be extraterrestrial versus cryptid, with the similarities being there like that. It's also interesting to me that the top three episodes amongst fans are story compilation episodes. Not really surprising because they're so good and juicy, but if y'all only knew how much easier those are for me to produce than the fully researched narrative episodes, tell me, which one do you prefer? The story compilations or the narrative research-heavy episodes? Or do you like them both equally? I really do want to know. Anyway, y'all ready for more stories? Let's start with another Glitch in the Matrix bonus story, and then we'll roll immediately into another crawler encounter. A couple of years back, when my youngest brother was still young, he was obsessed with Darth Vader. My dad owned a couple of Legos, and after many requests from my brother, gave him one of his rare Darth Vader Lego figures. My little brother was ecstatic, but my father told him sternly to take good care of it, because that one was an expensive one of its kind. That day, my oldest brother and my youngest were messing around playing with Legos, and for whatever reason, they decided to take a little break and then come back. Well, my little brother comes back crying how his Lego Darth Vader is gone, and at first, they both search around the little area they were playing, and nothing. The search expands as my little brother gets more and more desperate so our dad doesn't get angry at him. Me and my sister began to search around the house. We checked the most obscure of areas. Aren't things always either in the most obscure or most obvious places? But it's nowhere. Not on the bunk bed, the floor, the counter, drawers. It's nowhere. Eventually, my dad finds out. He's a little disheartened that it's lost, but tells everyone to just start looking harder. Eventually, my mom is looking too. We're like this for a good 20 minutes, and then we all group back together in a circle in the living room in defeat. We stand in that circle for a moment of silence as we think of where to look next. But that silence is cut short by a small clack. All of a sudden, our eyes are on the black Lego Darth Vader on the floor in the center of our circle. The silence doesn't break for a moment. We look up at the bare ceiling, and then we start talking in a frenzy, trying to piece together what just happened. There was no incentive for any member of my family to hide this Lego. My older brother is a prankster, but he was standing in the circle with us, and we all would want my little brother to be at ease. Plus, how? The timing was impeccable, by the way, right when all hope was lost. Okay, that's the end of the story, but it doesn't stop there. The comments on this one Some of them are as good as the story itself, and all are based around the same concept. I'm going to read those individually now. I believe you. Once I was bouncing a ball off the ceiling of my apartment, and it disappeared into the ceiling right before my eyes. It then reappeared about 30 minutes later. When my wife opened the door upon arrival home, I looked at her and then saw the ball fall out of the ceiling behind her in the hallway. Whoa, I've never heard of this happening to anyone else. Here's my story. I was cleaning up my toddler daughter's room, and I was just about done. I only needed to gather up her play jewelry. I picked everything up and put it away. I did a scan of the room to make sure I'd gotten everything. Across the room, I spotted one toy ring I'd missed. When I kneeled down to pick it up, I heard a loud, sharp crack, like the cracking of a whip right in front of my face. I even felt a puff of air as the percussion wave hit me. A second toy ring dropped out of thin air and bounced on the ground right in front of me. We've had a lot of weird stuff happen in this house, but that one was the weirdest. Holy crap, bro, I had a similar experience. I was chilling on my bed wondering where a certain minifigure had gone, and just like that, it fell over my shoulder onto the bed. Keep in mind, I hadn't seen the figure for maybe 6 months, and there it was. I have no explanation, but it was definitely freaky. I had something similar happen to this. Our cat had a toy ball he absolutely loved. The ball disappeared one day and was lost for over a year. We looked everywhere. Randomly, I was in the kitchen and felt a weird static, charged type feeling. Then I heard a noise, like something small being dropped from a decent height. It sounded like it came from the washing machine room behind me. The door to that room was closed. The cat comes running out of nowhere to that door. We open it, and there's the ball he lost, sitting perfectly in the middle of the floor. Other strange stuff happened in this apartment the entire time we lived there. Last summer, my boyfriend and I were camping in the Wachita Forest, off the Winona Scenic Route. We drove through a gorgeous spillway to a creek site where we'd set up our camp, and we were laying in the hammock for the night. Next thing I know, our dog is growling this deep growl I'd never heard her make, so it caught my attention. I look in the direction she's growling in, and I see this weird humanoid figure just casually walking in the woods about 10 to 20 feet away from us. It's a light gray, maybe white color, 7-ish feet tall, very skinny, and has an abnormally large head. Our dog barks and catches its attention. It stops for a good 20 seconds, looks at us, then carries on its way. Needless to say, we immediately packed everything up and left. We hadn't taken anything recreational that night, though I sort of wish we had now. I don't know what I saw, but it scared the crap out of me, and I'm so curious if we were the only ones to have ever seen anything like that out there. Definitely super creepy. I love hiking, backpacking, and camping, and when I'm outdoors overnight, my primary concern is always two-legged monsters with ill intentions. Meaning, men, if you don't catch my drift, but these stories will give me another thing to keep me up at night when I hear twigs snap near the tent. Now that we've talked about your favorite episodes from the past year, and a smidge more, I'd like to tell you my favorites. An honorable mention goes to episode 3, the Alabama Livestock Mutilations. I haven't yet had a lot of opportunities to dive into a mysterious phenomena versus the paranormal heavy hitters like cryptids and hauntings, and I really loved delving into those stories. It was some of the most interesting research that I've ever done for an episode. My two favorites are a tie. One is episode 17, The Diversion of the Mothman. My knowledge of Mothman had been fairly basic and limited to those initial sightings in West Virginia, but when I explored further to find everything that has happened over the years in the Illinois, Michigan, Great Lakes region, I couldn't resist making an episode about all that, even if it did deviate from Appalachia. The source material was absolutely enthralling and ignited a spark in me for following more of those encounters. My other favorite, which comes as no surprise to those who know me, is episode 7, Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. That whole experience initially brought out the cynic in me until I got home and reviewed the evidence. I'm really not exaggerating when I tell you I struggled to sleep for 2 weeks after that. I don't want to spoil it for you here if you haven't listened to it, but if you haven't, you really should. I do intend to do more on-site experiences and investigations turned into episodes. I have one of those in the works currently. And I do intend to revisit Brushy Mountain when I can. I'll be honest with y'all about what has held me back. A private investigation there, which I feel is absolutely necessary to limit the noise contamination and some of the public experience that I didn't care for, is $1,500. If I can't gather a full group of 12 who are willing to split that cost with me, I'm on the hook for that full $1,500 fee. So to do that, I need to feel confident that I can gather enough of y'all who would join me so that we could break that cost down. If I could do that, I feel that we would have an incredible experience there. My 2023 Spotify Wrapped for Podcasters was released, and it is delightful. I'll spare you all the boring stats because I share those on the podcast social media, but the one thing that's most important to me is that 44% of you discovered my podcast via a link sent through text message from a friend. Y'all, this is huge, and it makes me so happy. It already blows my mind that I created this little hobby as a passion project, and it's turned into something bigger and better than I could have imagined, with actual freaking fans of this thing. But to think y'all love it enough to tell other people about it is really something else, and I could not thank you enough. I also could not keep doing this without the love and support of my patrons, a dedicated little squad of 10 folks who are truly doing this only because they love the show and want to help me keep making content. So I wanted to do a special thank you to these amazing people who help pay these hosting and software fees so that I can keep making creepy stories for everyone. So a very big and loving thank you to Andrea, Alan, Rune, Corey, Amy, H. Stieg, Benjamin, Karen, Heather, and Jessica. I'd also like to thank one of my listeners, Eddie. He's just the sweetest and most positive person and sends me the nicest emails after every episode. I wish you an upcoming year of good health, Eddie, and please never change. And of course, last but not least, a huge thank you to all of you who tune in every other week just to hear me tell you spooky stories. I truly wouldn't be doing this if it weren't for all of you. So, what's next for the future of Obscure Appalachia? Interestingly, as the show grows, I've had to make adjustments to decrease the workload of the show, which is a frustrating contradiction, I know. I put a lot of hours into making this, sometimes 20 to 30 hours a week, and that is on top of my job, my family, my relationship, all those real-life things that also take a significant time investment. There have been times I've had mini to moderate breakdowns over keeping all these plates spinning. So I've had to cut back on production hours, make changes to the workflow, and I'm still experimenting with streamlining the processes involved while trying to maximize the listener experience. Last summer, I did have to take a hiatus while school was out. This year, I've been focused on trying to get ahead bit by bit, so maybe that won't happen. But honestly, at this point, I'm not very optimistic on that. And again, I'm trying to create a balance of putting out great content while also maintaining my life responsibilities and keeping my mental health intact. So my idea at this point, which is not set in stone but is a strong consideration, is to go to a seasonal format. This would allow me the flexibility to create content when I do have the time with an accepted break time built in. I would also like to branch to a video format a bit more. I've been experimenting just a little bit with posting a couple videos for patrons. I'm trying hard to get beyond the face for audio mentality. I'm even toying a bit with the idea of taking the podcast to video for my growing YouTube audience. And don't worry, if I do this at any point, it'll always be available in audio only as well on the podcast providers, just like it is now. But it seems that some of you weirdos would actually like to see my face as I tell these stories, and I guess it makes sense. I can't stand to listen to a podcast on YouTube and have nothing to look at. I either need to see something or need to listen to something while I do something absentmindedly. But of course, doing a video podcast doesn't exactly mesh with streamlining and minimizing my workload process unless I can make those two things meet in the middle somehow. So we shall see. Again, it's only a consideration at this point. I'm really looking at fun ways to experiment with delivery of content. And of course, I want to hear your ideas. I'm always open to suggestions, whether that's on episode ideas, content you'd like to see or hear, whatever it is. If you've made it this far, I appreciate you listening to the entirety of this hodgepodge episode. It's been fun, truly. Please reach out to me through social media, email, the website, however you like. I really do love hearing from y'all. If you haven't already, follow Obscure Appalachia on your podcast provider or on YouTube, wherever you like to listen, so you don't miss new episodes. I rarely mention this, but content warnings are always listed in the show notes for those who would like to use them. To support the show and help keep content coming, visit patreon.com/obscureappalachia. As always, thank you for listening, and I hope everyone has an amazing upcoming new year.